Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at, in depth, what the abundant life really means. My text is John 10:10, a familiar passage, I trust. These are the words of Jesus, and He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And of course, Jesus was referring not only to eternal life, but He was referring it to the here and now, that they might have that life more abundantly right now. Now, what does abundant mean? Well, by definition, according to Webster, it means marked by great plenty, amply supplied. In other words, there's no lack. There's plenty, great plenty. There's an ample provision for whatever is required or needed. Now, that word life is the Greek word zoe, and it's distinguished from the word bios, which means physical life. And this zoe refers to life in the spirit and soul, the spiritual part of man. Zoe expresses all of the highest and best which Christ is and which He gives to His saints. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's just not eternal salvation. It's the abundant life that God wants us to enjoy now. Not that we're free from trials and troubles and tribulations, but that we will walk with the victorious faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we can go through any trial or battle. God, we know, will not allow us to be tested above what we're able. He's a good God. He doesn't willingly afflict the sons of men. He doesn't have trials and tribulations come to us just because He enjoys seeing us squirm and being uncomfortable or miserable. No, there is a divine purpose in it. He won't allow us to be hurt. No evil shall come nigh thee, neither shall, won't come nigh thy dwelling. We have so many wonderful promises for those who are really seeking God and putting Him first, who have no other gods before Him. So the entire thrust of this scripture, what Jesus was sharing in John 10 that I shared with you, it's not for the hereafter, but it's for the here and now. And what we see in this one verse, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, have it more abundantly." What we see is a juxtaposition of Satan's purpose and the Lord's purpose. We can be sure that neither one of them change their modus operandi, the way they operate. That's, Satan will never want to see you blessed. Or even if he should somehow use deception in such a way, his ultimate purposes are that you would be deceived, that you will lose out on God. That's why we have to understand we have a wily and a wicked adversary, but we have the power and authority that God has given us as believers, and we don't have to be afraid of him. We don't have to be taken a captive by him. We have the victory in the Lord through the power of the Word of God. So what I'd like to be doing, and we may take some time with this, I'd like to just lay a foundation. I want to explore what it means to have liberty in Christ, and also the power we have in Christ. But let's start at the basics. Let's start with the foundation. God, in this scripture, in John 10:10, has promised abundance to us. And look at the grammar. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." And that's the past of may. It's used in auxiliary function to express permission, liberty, probability in the past, or a present condition, which is maybe contrary to the fact. Now, the slogan, if you will, or the theme that the Lord gave this ministry many years ago, 1965, when my husband started in ministry, in his own ministry, it was the whole word to the whole man to the whole world. Man, we know, according to Thessalonians, is a tripartite being. There's our physical body, which we understand, and there's the soul and the spirit. And the soul, by definition, it's the moral and emotional nature of our personality. It's the seat of will and emotions. So, what was the purpose of Jesus coming? Well, the word tells us he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that right? That's one side of the coin. The other side is he wants us to have abundant life. That's because he did destroy the works of the devil. He wants us to have a life that is characterized by plenty, by abundance. And I'm not just speaking of finances, material things, not in terms of our physical needs, material needs, but also mentally and emotionally as well. We are creatures that are made in the very image of God. And God wants us whole. He wants a balance in our lives. We have a need for work. And if you've ever read any testimonies of those who have had the privilege, they've maybe died and they've gone to heaven and God sent them back, or those that have had experiences of not dying, but God's allowed them to visit heaven, it's a very meaningful place. There is work, not laborious work that we're used to, but there's creative and wonderful work where there's great satisfaction and great joy. Remember in the beginning, Adam and Eve just weren't sitting around, you know, playing harps. They had a garden to tend, but they didn't have to deal with weeds and all the dreadful things we have to deal with now if we have a garden. Any of you planting a garden, you know about the bugs and the insects. I was sharing with a friend today, you know what, I thought, this goes back when I was in California. I had a patio room that was an office, and it had windows all around, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a garden. I had little grow boxes, and I said, I'm going to have a garden, and I'm not going to deal with insects, and I'm not going to deal with bugs. I planted, so I got seeds, and I got some little, they were grown from Orchard Hardware, and of course the seeds came up and they were fine, but the dreadful thing is these little plantlings that I brought home from Orchard Hardware, they had aphids in them and they spread to everything. And of course then this was early spring, the sun moved, and of course what was full sun for a time, in a short while it was hardly getting any sun at all, and the poor tomato plants were literally touching the ceiling. So, you know, the best laid plan, that shows you how much gardening I know, so I had to move everything outside. But the point is, you know, God is, he wants us to have a good foundation, and the devil just wants to destroy. He wants to take away from all the blessings and the benefits that God has for us. So we are made in the image of God. We have a need for work. We have a need for rest. Oh, that's where I got so detoured. We were talking about Adam and Eve. They had a garden to tend. Okay. We have a need for work. We have a need, of course, for rest. That's why God instituted the Sabbath principle before he even gave the Ten Commandments. And man is admonished to follow the same pattern that the Lord followed, that we could have one day of rest, and it doesn't have to be a particular day of the week. Saturday, Sunday, could be midweek. I mean, for preachers, most preachers are working harder on Sunday, the traditional day of worship for Christians, than any other day of the week. So it's a matter of principle. Every day is sacred to the Lord. Every day is the Lord's day. And so it's the matter of being able to rest spiritually in the Lord, to rest our physical bodies, to rest emotionally, to do things that would bring a recreation to our soul, that would be a blessing to us, some things we enjoy. And also, it's a time for play, for our creative energies to be expressed and fulfilled. That's why he wants a balance in our lives. But also, the Lord wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, to be like Him. Basically, the fruit of the Spirit are the emotional side or aspect of God's character. Remember, what's His purpose? He created man in the beginning for divine fellowship, and He's not changed that. That's exactly what He wants to do and is in the process of doing right now. Now, what are the fruit of the Spirit? In Galatians, they're listed. And, you know, this isn't some philosophical, theological concept. They're very practical, day-to-day actions. It's love, or states, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Beloved, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The love, of course, is the greatest. But the fruit relate to the very activities of our lives, our emotional and mental condition. Now, we need to bear fruit. We have to show forth fruit. What's the lack of love? The lack of love would be animosity or hatred. Beloved, that's sin. And so it's important we understand that God is calling us to a walk of holiness, and regardless of trials, He will make all our mountains a way. I love that passage. I preached on that years ago, because the mountains that stand before us, we can speak to those mountains and they will be removed. Now, we may have to go over them. I mean, we've yet to see a physical mountain removed by anyone's faith in the physical, natural world. Mountain ranges have kind of stayed where they've been established by the Lord. But spiritually, mountains can be removed by faith. And He can also, through those mountain high, those high passes, those treacherous places, He can make a way that you can ever draw closer to Him, and that you will see things from the mountain heights in a perspective you never saw before. Oh, beloved, the Lord loves you. I love you. And God wants to bring us into a glorious liberty of the sons of God. Well, I'm going to have to wait till next time to be able to share about the liberty we have in Christ. I hope you'll be able to join me. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you, and I'm so grateful for your prayer support and for those whom God moves upon to help financially, and for the faithfulness, the financial support of my UCM partners. Without you, beloved, I couldn't carry on. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.